This month, HPV testing and vaccination could mean women only have to be screened twice in their life for cervical cancer. Radiotherapy combined with hormone therapy boosts survival from prostate cancer. Only half as many lung cancer patients in England are getting potentially life-saving surgery compared to the best in the world. And we hear from our supporters meeting their local MPs at our first big Westminster lobby event. Welcome to the Cancer Research UK podcast. I'm Dr. Kat Arney. This month, we're focusing on news from the NCRI Cancer Conference, held in Liverpool at the beginning of November, and bringing together cancer experts from around the world to present new results and share ideas. A Cancer Research UK expert said at the conference that if the cervical cancer screening programme used HPV testing, women who've had the HPV vaccination will only need to go for screening twice in their lives. At the moment, women have to go for a smear test every 3 to 5 years, which looks for early changes in cells that could be a sign of cervical cancer. Most cases of the disease are caused by HPV, the human papillomavirus, but HPV testing isn't currently part of the national screening programme. Professor Peter Sassini, who presented his calculations at the NCRI Cancer Conference, explained how this would work.
At the moment, nothing's been said about that. That vaccinated girls should be screened less than anyone else. But in fact, probably just having 2 screens in the lifetime using HPV testing and at, say, age 30 and 45 would probably mean that overall we could protect women who were vaccinated and then screened twice from about 95% of cervical cancer. So that would be much more acceptable to women, only having to be screened twice. It would save a fortune for the government. But in order for it to happen, we need to be able to make sure that we're going to know who was vaccinated properly at age 12.
Men treated with radiotherapy as well as hormone therapy for advanced prostate cancer are more than 40% less likely to die from the disease, say the results of a clinical trial. Professor Malcolm Mason, who led the trial, told the NCRI Cancer Conference that more men should be given this important treatment option.
What we found in this study was that not only is radiotherapy very beneficial in terms of reducing the risks of dying of any cause, overall survival benefit, but also a 43% reduction in the odds of dying of prostate cancer at 7 years. And that's a pretty big risk reduction. I very much hope that this will change practice, because there's still quite a strong view that for a lot of men, hormone therapy alone is adequate treatment. And I just don't think that's true. I think the data shows that if a man is fit enough to have radiotherapy, he really ought to have radiotherapy in addition to hormone therapy. Now, not every man is fit enough for radiotherapy, that's absolutely true. And there may be some patients for whom other things need to be considered. That's also absolutely true. But if other things are equal, the standard treatment, the gold standard for men with locally advanced prostate cancer is hormone therapy plus radiotherapy.
A report published at the NCRI Cancer Conference revealed only half as many lung cancer patients in England are getting potentially life-saving surgery compared to the best rates in other countries. The National Cancer Intelligence Network's report showed that overall 9% of lung cancer patients had surgery, but experts suggest that around 20% are being operated on in some other parts of the world. This difference could, at least in part, explain why England's 5-year lung cancer survival lags behind the rest of the world. Dr. Leslie Walker, our Director of Cancer Information, says this issue needs urgent action.
We don't know the precise reasons for the low rates of surgery in the UK. One of the reasons could be, for example, that people are presenting too late and that surgery is not really an option at that stage. Or it just may simply be that we're not getting people through the tests and the procedures that they need so that treatment can be planned adequately. Also, at the end of the day, you know, do we have enough surgeons who are able to respond quickly? You know, the fundamental resource for treating lung cancer is an issue that clearly needs to be looked at.
This month, our first ever Westminster Lobby Day took place. Sophie Jones, our campaigns manager, was at the event.
Today is Cancer Research UK's Westminster Lobby 2010. We're here today to talk about the Commit to Beat Cancer campaign. So our cancer campaign's ambassadors have travelled from all over the UK, from Durham to Devon, and they're all here to talk to their MPs about Commit to Beat Cancer campaign. So the Commit to Beat Cancer campaign is all about making the UK's cancer outcomes among the best in Europe in the next 10 years. So there are lots of different strands to the campaign, but today is all about focusing on the importance of early diagnosis of cancer. We would like our ambassadors to talk to their MPs about the importance of early diagnosis. So we would like them to ask their MPs to write to the Secretary of State for Health, Andrew Lansley, about the importance of early diagnosis. Specifically, we would like him to include two really key points in the Cancer Plan for England, which is currently being refreshed. The first point is that we would like GPs to have better access to the test to diagnose cancer. And the second point is that we would like better recorded data of what stage a patient's cancer is diagnosed throughout the country.
My name is Nigel Lewis-Baker. Well, in 2004, I was diagnosed with locally advanced prostate cancer. Days like today are extremely important in that we can move en masse and show that it's not just an odd person's whim, but it is a nationwide concern, particularly for patients and for families and carers of people with cancer. Some people don't like to get too public about it, they don't like to stand up, but if you feel strongly enough, you have conviction and you actually want to make a change, becoming an ambassador for Cancer Research UK is the best way forward.
My name's Paula Jones and I come from Crewe. My MP is called Edward Timpson. Cancer Research UK is really important to me. I'm a cancer survivor. I had cervical cancer 15 years ago. So at the age of 23, I was diagnosed and had to undergo a hysterectomy. Without the work of Cancer Research UK, I might not have been so lucky and I might not be here today. So I'm really passionate about helping in any way that I can to beat the disease. I'm going to be talking to my MP today about diagnosing cancer earlier, and that's getting GPs involved at a much earlier stage so that we can cut out some of the processes and hopefully speed up the diagnosis. And this could result in saving tens of thousands of lives if it's done.
We're here in Westminster Palace and the lobby is coming to a close. The ambassadors are on their way home and today has just been a tremendous success and we're so grateful at Cancer Research UK for our supporters for coming down and lobbying with us.
That was Sophie Jones at Cancer Research UK's Parliamentary Lobby Day. We'll be back next month with all the latest news. In the meantime, check out our revamped Cancer Chat website where people affected by cancer can share their experiences. That's cancerchat.org.uk. Or you can keep up to date with all the biggest cancer stories on our Science Update blog. That's scienceblog.cancerresearchuk.org.